Hello, and welcome to Holden Village. Today's date is August 28, 2003. Today's session is entitled Native American Spirituality, presented by Mark Cremantillo, number KRM-2003-01. Let's listen in.
I wrote on the board, my name is Mark Cremantillo. Cremen is my adopted name. I normally start, as also my class I teach at university, telling a little bit about myself. I'm originally from the Skokomish Nation. My father is Yakima and my mother is Skokomish. In our background, they ended up, we are only allowed to be registered under one tribe community. Most of my brothers and sisters took the Skokomish background. They ended up, which is my mother's side. And we're on the lower part of Hood Canal, on the southern part of Puget Sound in Washington State. Washington State has 27 recognized tribes in Washington State alone. The main thing is that with the Puget Sound area and the waterways and the rivers, ends up every river before the Europeans had come over, and the plentifulness of our abundance of fish and wildlife and foods ended up, we were able to basically sustain a tribe and a community within almost each river of the Puget Sound area. People that I am from, we are called the Salmon and Cedar people. Got the Cremen name. I grew up in the 50s and I was still at the end of the assimilation era where one of the ways that the Europeans had decided to work with what they called the Indian problem was to try to make Native American people like the mainstream of society. And I was the middle child, ended up of nine of us in our family, and the government had taken us children away from our parents, and we were put into foster homes and adopted out. I had a brother who is a year older than I, and we both went through the same two foster homes and adopted out. Claude was able to stay with me and be with me through the 18 years of growing up. The assimilation era, as they call it, is a time where they did take the children away, and they ended up, of the nine of us, they left my older sister and my youngest brother with my biological parents. And I ended up being one that lived in seven cities in 18 years, going through both foster homes and my adopted family being ones that were heavy-duty construction background. They ended up, we lived from Bremerton all the way up by Bellingham in the major cities. We ended up being ones that made the large sewer lines in the major cities in Puget Sound. My return back to my native background was basically the work of my brother Claude, who is a year older than I. And when he graduated in 68 and I graduated in 69, I ended up, it was still the height of the American Indian movement. And with the American Indian movement that was going on, mostly known in the South Dakota area, I ended up, he joined in on part of the American Indian movement and went to Eastern Washington State College in Cheney. In being part of that, he ended up also laid the groundwork of us being able to find who our biological parents were. Because we were able to go to college under the Bureau of Indian Affairs, ended up, we were able to go to college, we had to be from a recognized tribe. And to be from a recognized tribe, we were able to know which tribal nation we were from. We realized that we were registered Skokomish under my mother's name, and it ended up we were able to go back to Skokomish, where Peggy, my oldest sister, still lives. In 1970, we were able to meet my biological mother, who was already in a nursing home, and one that had Huntington's and Parkinson's disease in our family. I ended up finding my father within 2 years. He was still a street alcoholic at the time, and it took us a while to find him. The main thing was finding out his route of local places he went to, which was Sumner, Tacoma, and Olympia in the southern part of Puget Sound. We were able to eventually locate my biological father. With nine of us in our family, we were able to meet eight out of nine of us within the 2 year period after finding our father. One of my younger brothers ended up going to, after he was adopted out, went to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And we weren't able to meet my younger brother Keith until my biological father had passed away. My mother stayed alive about 5-6 years after getting to Huntington's, Parkinson's disease, and 5 to 8 years is normally par for those that have both illnesses. The meeting of my mother was probably the most traumatic for almost all of us. Even though she was in a nursing home, she recognized who we were. I was taken away when I was 5 years old, and my brother was 6 years old. And because it was part of the assimilation era, they ended up, they told us we were going to live with our grandmother and grandfather, and which of course wasn't true, but we didn't know that as children, and we called them our grandma and grandpa. But we were able to know that we were different, and we were able to know that that we were taken away. The meeting of my mother ended up, both Claude and I went together to see my mother in the nursing home in Shelton. And it was a very tearful event of being able to see my mother, and my mother was also in tears too. She knew who we were right away, and we stayed with her for almost a good hour. And I was fortunate within her background, she was still able to communicate a little bit. And unfortunately, because of the Huntington's and Parkinson's in our family, it ends up five out of the nine of us children had contracted the disease, and five of the nine of us children in my generation, my brothers and sisters, have passed on, and my father has also passed on. Of the people in my generation, my older sister and myself are the only two that are left in my generation. I did decide to find out if I was going to get Huntington's and Parkinson's. They have let me know that I do have a very slim chance of getting it, but they have said that it's better to stay, be under medications to make sure that I don't get it. As being one that is a carrier of the disease also, and so I have a 50-50 chance of giving it to offspring if I had children. Seeing my brothers and sisters die, ends up I am very reluctant to want to have children. Okay, that's me. Sure. Native American spirituality and Native American religion in the Northwest are mostly the smokehouse, longhouse. Actually, the third one down, the Shaker religion, is a Northwest Native American spirituality, and the medicine wheel is very universal with a lot of the Native tribes all over the United States. The t-shirt sort of I was given one time ended up are the medicine wheel colors. I might as well just start by the top one, the smokehouse longhouse, is basically a Western Washington religion and spirituality. They are basically almost like they are described. There are longhouses, and there are three fires during the ceremonies. Leadership is hand drumming like these. Sometimes they'll have a little bit larger ones, but drumming is very common within the smokehouse, longhouse. Dancing are done by what we call babies in the as they become more into the smokehouse, longhouse background. Way of becoming a member of the smokehouse, longhouse is they go through a 1 year both fasting, spiritual bathing, a lot of instruction in the longhouse. People will stand there and talk up to 5 or 6 hours and up to 1 or 2 to 3 in the morning, helping the new people that want to join the longhouse. They have to go through a 1 year commitment of being able to join the smokehouse, longhouse background.
Is the instruction done in your native language?
About 3/4 of it are in our language. Ended up our language has been reintroduced. Well, that's supposed to be a CD. And there are two backgrounds of the smokehouse, longhouse people. The red-faced people are, I've been a member of the smokehouse, longhouse background for 5 years when I first had gone back to my tribe. And my cousin is the leader of our smokehouse, longhouse people. The red face of the smokehouse, longhouse are the spiritual leaders of the smokehouse, longhouse, and the black face are normally, in a sense, the workers. Maybe in a sense, if I sort of relate it to the church background, the red-faced people are your leaders within your church, and your black-faced people that are similar to your church would be your congregation. The people would be sitting in the pews, kind of thing, and trying to relate it to their Christianity background. Idea of the red-faced people ends up, one thing that is really done within our native background is that and then many of our Western Washington cultures, the grandmothers of our family will stand there and see us as children growing up, and within their spiritual eyes will look at us and realize where we would fit within our ceremonies of the longhouse. There are many times that it ended up, they are also passed down from father, grandfather to father to son, they are also instructed on their way through the travel of becoming spiritual leaders within smokehouse, longhouse. The ceremony itself is both a lot of drumming and a lot of song, lot of dance, which is different than the powwows. The powwows are a more of a community dancing, where most of the powwows are for gathering of many different nations, and mainly for being able to gain information from different regions of the people that have come from to the powwow from the different areas. Two major powwows in Washington State are the one at Daybreak Star during Seafair Days, and then there's one at the Seattle Center normally. And the one that's local that I go to a lot is what they call the Salmon Homecoming. In the late fall, we have a program that is a powwow that is geared more directly for the return of the salmon to our area. And there's also a ceremony of the first salmon that is caught in the fall that ends up, it is revered by one of our elders, and the fish that is first caught is let go and blessed, prayed over and let go, and let the salmon know that that we are catching them in a good way, that we only catch what we want to use, and those that do it in commercial salmon fishing will catch for their income as their family. My nephew was picked as our best fisherman and best hunter, and he was groomed by my uncle, who also was the best fisherman and the best hunter. in our also in our smokehouse, longhouse background, they also will see the different positions, similar to people in congregations. Many of them are good cooks. Many of them are good at smoking salmon. Some of them are good at clam digging, shellfish gathering. Some of them are the best drummers, or best singers, and some of them are become either the lead singers or background singers in the smokehouse, longhouse background. Of the three smokehouses that I've been, in a sense, a member of, we also have, in a sense, a hierarchy in our smokehouse, longhouse background that we also know, in a sense, our place of where we are, both not only to set in the smokehouse, longhouse, that we have our own individual sections as a individual tribe, but then also as a tribal leader or a tribal person within the individual tribe, you know, whether you're like number one, number two, like the leader, second leader, third leader of your own individual community. Being one that has been part of the smokehouse, longhouse for the 5 years, I am a leadership role, but I'm about anywhere from 8 to 10 down the line. I know that because I attend the morning during the winter and I don't go as often, ends up I would have to be part of that membership as a, on a regular basis to be able to move up in position. Our songs are many times our own tribal songs. The other songs that are sung are ones that are within your own family. And many families have anywhere from 3 to 5 songs that they are sung that are your individual family. I ended up, when I was still at University of Washington as a student, I was able to help a friend of mine who is an architect, and he was studying the structures of the smokehouse, longhouse background, and it ended up, he also wanted to study the smokehouse, longhouse people, and had come across a book that was in the late 1920s, 30s, and there was a longhouse up on Vancouver Island, and within that textbook, it ended up showing that the longhouse was 130 feet long and 60 feet wide, and that there were about 1,000 people in the longhouse, and the people that sang songs of their family songs, that the ceremony lasted for 2.5 days, and no song was repeated during that time because there were so many different people from different backgrounds of their individual communities. The smokehouse, longhouse is also from the southern part of Alaska to part of western Oregon, about the middle of western Oregon, on the western parts of the two states in western British Columbia. Bruce, my cousin, is also a cultural director for our tribe and has helped us as a individual tribe work at retaining our native cultural background and our history of our people. My sister, who was able to stay with our reservation, has also our family history. My tribe is five major families, and I'm related to three of the five major families, and related to the Yakima people, and the last I heard, I was related to about 200 people in Washington State alone. So I got a lot of cousins, nieces and nephews, and they're still multiplying. I know. One of my nieces, Peggy's third oldest daughter, has had four children now, and she would like to have eight children. So she's multiplying our family pretty well. The medicine wheel teachings, which is one that is very universal all over, in a sense, the United States. One of my great opportunities when I was still in college and be able to take 2 years of the medicine wheel teachings. The medicine wheel teachings are ones that involve all people, but it is the Native American people that were the ones that had begun the idea of medicine wheel teachings. The medicine wheel teachings are said to be about 1,000 years old. People know of the Four Corners. The Four Corners sound like something you remember? Okay, they think it had really originated at the Four Corners. And it ended up where they have felt the Anasazi and several of the other tribes of the Four Corners had realized that they also felt that, you know, they were not the only people within what they would call Mother Earth, and ended up realized that there were people of different races. Many of our people, even in our Smokehouse Longhouse people, that we are also visionaries, that we our dreams of and visions that we have had, we are able to have the inference of the knowledge of that there are people from other places. The four colors are the red people, the black people, the yellow people, and the white people. And these are the major races of our other people call our Mother Earth Turtle Island by a number of our Native people background. Our Turtle Island is consisted of four different major racial peoples. And within the Lakota way, the Sioux people, Takashala is the name of God. Ended up in both our Smokehouse and our Shaker background, the word for God, we do not have the word for God, because they end up, we realize that the Creator and God is so great and so much that it, we would not have a way to actually have a word for God. And what we do is do a whale are a scream, are going to a trance, because it ends up we realize that the idea of God himself is something that is so vast and so big that we cannot be able to comprehend, being able to even say the word God in our native background, in our smokehouse, in our Shaker background people. The Shaker and the history of the Shaker Church is the Western Washington of our people. I have put that up because I ended up, my uncle was the bishop of our Shaker Church background. My father was a traveling minister of the Shaker Church background. One of my younger brothers, who's passed on already, was also a minister of our Shaker Church background. It's also one that has gone from Vancouver Island down to further than our smokehouse. We do have Shaker Churches in Northern California. When I was able to re-meet with my father and my uncle, who was the bishop of our Shaker Church background, ended up was able to help convert my father into changing his ways and become a Shaker background. And many of those that have changed in your Christian conversion, thinking of the similar conversion of Paul, that he turned his life completely around and became, my dad became a minister and Paul became a preacher and a writer of your New Testament. This is the same idea that happened to my father, Wilkie, and it ended up, he became a minister and not carousing anymore and not being a street person anymore, which was a real newness to me, because I ended up, I remember the first 5 years of my life was in your situation within that I felt it was almost hell, because I ended up, the only thing I remember was when my father would come home, he normally tried to hide because he was always drunk, and he would always either hit us or kick us and throw us off the bed, and we knew that we were going to have trouble when our dad came home, but ended up when he changed, he really did change. Became the real father that most people know. And it ended up, he would come up to junior college where I was going and stand there and take me to churches and say, do I need any money? Do, take me out to restaurants and you know, get, treated me royally, and I had a lot of fun with him then. And Claude also. Unfortunately, Claude has also passed away. He was one that had the Huntington's, Parkinson's. Two other of my brothers had Huntington's and Parkinson's, and two of my sisters had Huntington's and Parkinson's. Shaker background and its idea of trying to describe it would be, the best way is your Pentecostal Holy Roller kind of churches. And act like that. Although we did, because it's a religion that started in the early 1900s, and it was through similar to my father, who ended up three people in the lower part of Puget Sound, three alcoholic natives in the Puget Sound Olympia area, realized that they were more or less like in AA, it was hitting bottom, and it ended up, they realized that they had to do something to get themselves out of the hole. And the Shaker religion was actually evolved out of these three people that realized that they had to become better for their lives. And the Shaker religion was evolved through them, that when they turned around, they had realized that there is a God out there. They did not use the AA background, but they used a beginning of religion as a background. And because we had the inferences of the Catholic Church very predominant in the already, our Shaker background is all done in threes. We cross ourselves three times. We go around and shake each other's hands three times. Anytime that on some of the parts of the services that people line up in threes, we do have the inference of the some, I don't know if any of you know part of the background of the Jewish background, but there was a men's side, there is a men's side and a women's side on our Shaker background. The men are on the left-hand side and the women are on the right-hand side. And it is fortunate that we do have men and women ministers in our Shaker background. Many times go into trances. We do Native American songs, but we do go into trances and also believe in spiritual and physical healing. That things of three, that people will sit in chairs of rows of three, and it can be 3, 6, 9, 12. 12 is the highest number of I've seen, rows of three chairs as the service begins, and people are able to sit in the chairs and get either physical or spiritual healings. Becoming a member of the Shaker background is also that they stand in front of the altar 3 days and three nights, and that they're prayed over by their, if they have members in their family that are Shaker already, Shaker members, they will also be beside them. And many times the ministers or the elders of the Shaker background would also stand and help instruct them. They are to stand in front of the altar 3 days with their hands raised and work at getting the acceptance of God coming to them and them opening themselves up to God. Does somebody have a watch? I understand we're about 4:30 is when the thing is. What time is it now?
25 after 4?
Oh.
Okay, quick, is anybody want some questions?
Are you going to do any drumming or harder?
I will, in a minute. Is there a question?
Well, are you indicating that a person can be part of both the Smokehouse Longhouse background and the Shaker background?
I've been part of actually all three.
At the same time?
Not at the same time. I've been a member of the Smokehouse Longhouse when I first got back to my tribal background, mainly because of my brother, my cousin, who is the leader of the Smokehouse Longhouse. When I was still at my undergraduate at University of Washington, I ended up taking the 2 years of the medicine wheel teachings. And then because my uncle, my father, who helped bring me back to my tribe and be a part of my family background, I ended up being part of the Shaker background. The one point I could shortly make is that for me to go back into my native spiritual religion practices are very easy, but to come back to Seattle and be part of the Lutheran Church, it normally takes me 2 or 3 days to get into your regular hustle bustle of a city, where normally your tribal background is a very laid back, come and go, and you know, everything, in a sense, like everything goes kind of thing. I do have also the opportunity, because I've done both burials and ceremonies, have I've been a drummer for over 11 years, and the last 7 years have been an Eagle Carrier, one of the highest honors as a both a honor and a way of showing part of your status as being a Eagle Carrier, and to be able to have drum songs is a way of partly identifying yourself.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Your foster family, what was their religion? What was their name?
This is interesting. I have a Catholic father, I mean a Jewish father, from the Reform Jewish background, and my mother was Catholic, Roman Catholic background, and because they had adopted us, we ended up being ones that were going to a Unitarian church, which is basically no religion at all kind of thing. Idea of it, but ended up when Claude turned into seventh grade, he had a choice of going to church or not going to church, and because Claude was a year older than I, and I followed what Claude did, when we were both, after seventh grade, we had a choice of not going to church, and Claude did not want to go to church, so we didn't have to go to church anymore. If I had taken time to talk about the drum itself, it ended up, the whole history of the drum is also, it could go into almost anywhere from 3 to 6 months instruction of the drum itself. And it ended up, drama when you can drum, and what songs you can sing, what songs you can't sing. The only other part that I hadn't gotten to was smudging, and the two different major smudgings are sage and sweetgrass. And sage is normally when trouble is going on with a person and people are smudged, similar to the incense of churches. And they are done in a counterclockwise, mostly by the tribal people. And the sweetgrass is normally done when there's a celebration. I've been able to do unions of people, and have used a number of times sweetgrass. And I have done also because of both family, but of people in Western Washington, have used sage. I did have the opportunity of a member of our Macaw tribe, and she was a leader in our LCA, Lutheran Church of America background, that her mother had passed away, and I did the burial for her mother, and she was able to gift me with the hand drum for doing the service of her mother. And these are many times as our Native people is that we in a sense do not you know, like the one sort of like the no-nos is that you ask for a charge for doing a ceremony. It's normally given that you receive some kind of gift, either mostly, unfortunately now it's been a monetary gift more often, but of the first 7 to 11 years that I have been doing a spiritual background, many times they're gifts, and ends up for doing a funeral, I was able to receive a drum, and then when I was able to get the rites from our tribal people that are elders older than I, that I became an eagle carrier, and being an eagle carrier, I do have the opportunity of doing ceremonies for our people. I told my friend here, I turned 52 last November, and it ends up because there's been a variation of the age of our Native people now, instead of 60 or 65, like the retirement age, 50 years old is when you are considered an elder, and it varies within different communities on whether an elder is actually an elder. And I'm starting to look like an elder. Yeah, any other questions?
What can you tell us about the song you sing?
Ended up this song is similar to your amen, 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 amen. And it could be also similar to Alleluia, Alleluia. And I had just done this similar kind of singing at before Vespers several days, or last week, and the choir, the music director asked me how long my song was, and I told him about 2.5 hours. He said, "Well, no, you don't have to do it that long." And I stood there, I said, "Well, that, you know, it can vary, you know, any amount of time." I got to first learn on the big drum through the people that were at powwows, and was able to do a song at Quito, Ecuador. I was able to be a representative of the indigenous meeting of the Americas in Quito, Ecuador in 1991, where and different indigenous people from North America, South America, Central America met together for the first time. And elders, people that work within directly with Native American community, and people that are influential within different Native American programs. And I got to be one of seven representatives of Washington State, Washington and Oregon, to go down to Quito, Ecuador for the first Indigenous Meeting of Americas. And a very long 5 days. Similar, I don't know if any of you have gone to the National Assemblies for ELCA, they're like about 10, 14 hour days. And then, of course, parties at night, and then about 4 or 5 hours of sleep. And if you got 3 hours of sleep, you're lucky. But I got to learn a lot about indigenous people from other parts of the country at that time.
What is your connection with the Lutheran Church currently?
I think it's over there. I've been a member of, in a sense, university, I mean, a sense of the Lutheran background since 1974 when I came up to college. I sort of like reconverted back to Christianity in 1969. I went to Grace Harbor Community College, and three very pretty young girls sat around me and asked me if I knew the Lord Jesus Christ. And three pretty women sitting by me, like Carolyn knows, I stood there. It's kind of hard to say no. So I ended up, I sort of like in a sense reconverted back to Christianity back in community college. When I came up to University of Washington in Seattle, there wasn't a Evangelical Covenant Church right around the U District or in Seattle itself. It was down by Auburn or somewhere down south, which was like about 5-6 miles away, and I wasn't going to go traveling to this, like the same denomination. And my friend who went to community college with me went to the Lutheran Church in Aberdeen Hoquiam on the coast. And he said, there, well, I'll come over to a Lutheran church. And so I wasn't basically part of the Lutheran church at the time I went to university, but they had a campus Christian ministry program in Seattle that's still there. And I went to that and then went to the Lutheran church, University of Lutheran, where I'm a member still. And it took them 11 years to convert me. I went to the University of Lutheran for 11 years and finally became a member, and I stood there. I told them it took them a long time to convert me. So I was part of University of Lutheran for a long time. Anything else? I'm single.
What's it? The covering on the drum.
It's a deer skin. And I never did ask. It was a member of Marilyn's family that made the drum for me, and I didn't ask what the wood was, but deer skin is the most common. People in Alaska, many of them will use bear skin, but deer skin is the most common, almost all over the United States. But our caribou with Alaska, those who want to know a little bit of it, but the cedar tree of our people, almost everything of the cedar tree is used for one thing or another. I was telling somebody the other day that actually cedar clothing was made by the inner bark of the cedar. That my teacher, who I took 2 years of our Coastal Salish language has a cedar dress that she wears every so often, but she says it's itchy. Yeah.
Some of the Midwestern tribes, I believe, ornament or decorate their drums. Is that
I would maybe with my protocol, I would go to the person that made the drum. Although it's a gift to me, it ended up I could, in retrospect, I would probably either use one of our Skokomish salmon, or I could use our language, or I would ask the Macaw people if it's okay if I use our Skokomish. Because it's a Macaw drum, I would have to ask our Macaws if I could. And if not, I could have one of them put their Macaw sign. A number of our, most of our Western Washington tribes would many times put either a salmon emblem on it or a cedar. Almost similar to your Alaskan designs, but normally you would have to ask permission from the people from which basically where it has come from. So. And unfortunately, I'm only a stick artist, so I don't know what I would put on it. So, yeah.
Your family has three to five songs, is that what you said?
What?
A family will have 3 to 5 songs?
Yeah, there would be both like an essential father's side song of your the background of your father and also the background of your mother.
So the song is sort of like
yeah, they've been following through.
So
you're basically integrated with two families. So that way you have songs from your mother's side and your father's side.
And then they change over time. So it's not
always
the
change over
same.
Time, yeah.
Okay.
And you'll get, when I go to the smokehouse, longhouse that I go to the most, is up in over in Tulalip and up at Swinomish, up by Laconer, and Tulalip is down by Puyallup, and I would know where our Skokomish are sitting, and I would know where I would be able to sit. Although I would still be in the first row, I'd be like the 8th person down from the center of the longhouse. So it ends up, and that's also in the state's protocol, you know, those that know about the background of elders have also the right to either speak first, and I would know which ones were older than I, and wait for my turn to be able to speak. And the people that are younger than I would normally know, except for, you know, of course, young children that wouldn't have to work at being instructed on, you know, you have to wait your turn. Yeah.
Is there a direction on the longhouse? Does it go north, south, or east, west?
Normally, all of our longhouses were facing toward the river. The entrance of the longhouse would face toward the river.
Which river do you use?
We would be facing west in ours. Ended up the one that ours is the entrance. If you do follow true protocol, you would enter from the side of the entrance, the end of the longhouse that's facing toward the longhouse, going sort of like this, and whatever side the river is on, you would enter on the side where the river is.
So it's the short end that's on the...
The end of the longhouse. They will have, they would have, in a sense, like this,
okay.
The longhouse. And if the river was going along here, this is the main entrance. Yeah, the river is along here. This is the main entrance.
Okay, then men and women?
This is the people of the Longhouse, the different tribes have their places.
Okay.
They have their places. And the one up at Swinomish, this is Gokomish right here, where I'm from. And I ended up, we, in our, the longhouse that I know in Swinomish, they have positions for up to 12 to 14 tribes, and in so far as Gokomish and our Swinomish longhouse, we're up in the corner here. And many times, and within the smokehouse, longhouse, three fires built, and it ends up the three fires are in our native backgrounds. Three, five, and seven are the sacred numbers in our background.
Do you have any concept like giving of money, for example, that the red faces would use to decide to buy something for the, or to advance the church, or something like we have an offering. We make a financial offering. And
probably the only one that does that a little bit. The only one that does that a little bit would be the, our Shaker background, which is our fairly newest spiritual background. And they will do an offering. Our Shaker church is being more, in a sense, a structure that, although very simple, we do have to normally pay for the electricity and water, sewer, and similar to a church, regular church. But it ends up also in our Shaker background. And all three of the backgrounds ends up when there are ceremonies. You never come without anything. You always either bring mostly food, and you bring something, whoever is host, whatever tribe is hosting the ceremony, you bring a gift for the hosting people that are there. And in my Shaker background, when I had gone back to my Skokomish, and I was with, it was interesting, July 4th is a celebrated time for our Shaker people, and my father and my uncle were still alive at the time, and my younger brother. And it ended up, we had 300 to 350 people in our Shaker church. And it ended up, because I went through cooking at restaurants in Seattle to get through college, ended up, they had me in the kitchen cooking for 300 to 350 people. And it ended up, people from all the way from Northern California, from Vancouver Island, had come up. I had over 200 pounds of salmon had come in. I had over 100 pounds of crab that had come in. I had over 1,000 pounds of potatoes that had come in. I had over 200 pounds of clams that had come in. And just, I don't know how many bags of corn that had come over. And our Shaker church in by Olympia, don't have walk-ins like Holden Village, and I ended up, I had to find out what I had to use right away, and of course the fish was the first thing I tried to start using. I ended up realizing for me to try to cook for, I had a lot of help with over that many people, and a lot of the young people are, if they're, you know, following right protocol, they ask what they can do to help, and a lot of them would help get the potatoes ready for cooking. A lot of them would help get salads made ready for making. We had a lot of plots of strawberries that had come in, and they got to take the little parts off the bottom of your strawberries, slice them up. And there are people, although I'm knowledgeable now, but it ended up I've had sides of deer meat, hindquarters of elk, and things like that. And finally, I've learned how to do the butchering of game, but they ended up, most of the salmon that had come in was already clean, which is good that I didn't have to go that far. But what I had done was then there, I made a 12-foot pit and a 4-foot wide, and we built a sort of like a rockery like out here, and it ended up I was able to put a screening across, and I could cook salmon for 100 people right away. Mm-hmm. And I cooked, I was able to cook salmon for 300 people in about 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. By taking a whole row of salmon fillets, not salmon fillets, but after they're cleaned, I just cut right down the middle so they were all opened up like that. And it ended up I had three sets of salmon on the fire, and was able to pull them off and have salmon already cooked for 300 people in 25 minutes. Oh. And a very hot fire.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
So are you training younger kids to come and be part of your ceremonies?
Yeah, and yep, we have people that are being groomed in our different backgrounds of our spiritualities, and it ended up my younger brother, who had taken one of the positions, and it ended up I'm following suit of what my younger brother was doing before he passed away. And
so how many are there left of you in the family?
In my own individual family, my oldest sister and I are the only two left.
You two, out of nine?
Out of nine of us, yeah. Mm-hmm. The Huntington's got five of us, and unfortunately I didn't mention, but the diets and a number of our people are that great. They eat too much fatty food.